Amen. The Savior is coming. He is coming again. Praise the Lord. We can see it. And oh my, it's something to consider. It's something to prepare for. It's going to happen one of these moments. It's going to be over this world. Oh, our God is coming. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have an opportunity here tonight. Again, you know, anything can happen. You know, I'm hearing rumors already that there's going to be more shutdowns. God only knows. I know this is a privilege to stand up here tonight to gather with you all that are with us one place or the other. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Our God has been good, and we have much to thank him for. Praise the Lord. I do want to say, Brother Costa, he sent me an email today. He's our brother in the Netherlands, and he wanted us to know that the Lord seems to have found him a garage in Germany. He's a mechanic. He's very skilled. He's been in the Netherlands for these last many years, and not a whole lot has opened up there, though he did have a garage there. But this one is double the size of the present one that he has in the Netherlands, and yet it costs less than what he is paying there for his present circumstances. And he noticed that there were old-time cars around this place, and he talked to the owner and, yes, found out that, yeah, this is a going-on process there. They're repairing them. Some are stripped down to almost nothing. Some of them are from the early 1900s. And Brother Costa has always loved this sort of thing. When he was in the military, his commander there in Greece actually told him that, yeah, one day he needed to have his own mechanic business. And he said that he was sure that he'd get a lot of people because of his skills. So anyway, Brother Costa asked the owner if he needed any help for this business, obviously, that was on the side here, and the owner said yes. And it does appear that our brother is going to be joining him. He only works on Saturday right now, but we'll see what all the Lord does. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to put everything into God's hands. Oh, praise the Lord that we can do that. You know, I know this has been a desire of my brother and sister there in the Netherlands for quite a while, that God would just show his will and take them where they needed to go and open up the doors that needed to go, close the doors that needed to be closed. And praise the Lord, this is a new development. And I know some of you have been joining in prayer for them. And I will say, I do have this prayer list that I am circulating. It's by email. And if you're not getting it and you want it, just let me have your email address, and I will include you on the list. All right? And, you know, you're free to send me your requests, and we've got a wonderful group of prayer warriors who are going forth and praying for these needs. So praise the Lord. Just let me know if you want to be on that list. If you're not, otherwise, keep praying with me. Praise the Lord. Our God hears. Our God answers prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Here we are. We have another opportunity, Lord, to come before you, Lord. Oh, God, I just thank you for the open door that you've given us, Lord, of this ministry that's been able to go forth these many years. Oh, God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh, we don't know, oh, Lord, what is ahead, but we know it's a season. Oh, Lord, we can sense that thy coming is at hand. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd move in us. I pray that you would motivate us, Lord. I pray that you would give us faith to believe you, Jesus. Oh God, help our eyes to be turned upon thee, Lord, upon thy promises, upon thy word, Lord. Give us faith to go forward. And oh God, I pray, oh God, that nothing would keep us away from serving thee, Lord. No matter what tribulation, trials, and tests, oh Lord, are beyond us right now, Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you would give us a strength, that you'd give us faith, that you'd give us the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would move in our lives. Oh God, I pray that you would change the things that need to be changed. Oh God, that you'd work in us, Lord. Oh God, that there would be a cry. We need a revival, Lord, for you are a God of miracles. Truly, there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And I pray that you would work in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that you'd prepare us. I pray that you would talk to us, Lord. Oh God, let the devil be bound. Let there be no interferences, Lord. Oh God, let your word go forth with boldness. Oh God, oh give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, the things that you would have us to know, Lord. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you'd help me, Lord, as I bring forth this message, Lord. I pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, it would do the work that you've ordained it to do, Lord. I know I can do nothing of myself, Lord. I pray that you would go forth with these words, oh God, that you'd show me where you'd have me to teach and what you would have me to say, Lord. Oh God, in your precious name, we could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you would be with your people, Lord. You know every burden, every need, oh, every situation, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'd give the Nickums wisdom, Lord, with that circumstance. Oh, Lord, we're believing that you're going to heal Mackenzie. Oh, God, that you're going to touch her, that you're going to deliver her from POTS, oh, Lord, and we just give this to you, Lord. Oh, God, knowing, oh, Lord, that you are completely able to do so. And, oh, Lord, if we just have faith, you're going to do it, Lord. And, God, I pray, too, for Deb's request for that dear woman who's in a nursing home who has been sent to the hospital, oh, Lord, with the COVID. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would help this woman, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you touch her spirits, Lord. Oh, God, that you touch her with your presence, Lord. I don't know if she knows you, Lord, but I pray, oh, God, that you would meet with her and that you would touch her, Lord, that you would heal her. Oh, God, but, oh, God, she would sense, oh, Lord, thy closeness, thy greatness, oh Lord, that you would get a glimpse of thee, Lord, a great glimpse, greater than ever before. Oh Lord, we just bring these needs before you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you can meet every need. Oh God, you know the needs of your people, and I pray that you'd work here tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let your word come forth with boldness. Oh God, according to your will, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise our God. And you know, as we were singing these songs of faith, and you know, I couldn't help but remember the little story from a while ago. This dear woman who was blind, and you know, obviously she'd been prayed for and all, and it hadn't happened yet. But you know what? She had faith. And she went around and, you know, she would tell people, God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. And I don't know how many times she said it. And, you know, most likely there were people that, you know, shrugged their shoulders and maybe giggled and you know, thought, oh my, oh, she's so blind. You know, how is this ever going to happen? She said that 40 times and it still hasn't happened. But you know what? One day she said it again. She told somebody, the Lord's going to heal me. And you know what happened? The Lord healed her at that moment. Amen. Our God sees faith. And oh, if we can just continue to hang on to his promises and hold on to his word and believe him, he knows how to do those things that we have need of. Oh yes, he can use it for his glory. Oh, yes, for our benefit, for our blessing, but also for a testimony of his greatness, his might, his salvation, his healing. Oh, yes, he gives us a story to share. Praise the Lord, but oh, our God knows how to heal. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the things he's done in my life. I believe you all must have stories that you can share how God has intervened and how he has helped you. And how, oh my, when you almost died, he stopped that death from happening. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our gracious, wonderful God. He's with his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into his word right now. Praise our God. We're going to call this message, A Way to Escape. Amen. A Way to Escape. I know Brother Samuel has already mentioned some of the things that are going on at this moment. But as I see it, as we're stepping into the end time, this surely is the end time. I mean, you know, the apostles called it the end times back then. And come on, we're 2,000 years beyond that now. So these are the end times. And besides what we're seeing, oh my, it's not like anything we've seen before. But as we step into these end time scenarios, we are seeing a growing insanity. We're seeing the lies growing bigger and bigger and bigger, as you know, the Bidens and Fauci and all those of that ilk, you know, make their demands and try to assert their authority. You know, we've heard rumors that, yeah, they may start coming to our doors. The brown shirts, you know, and, you know, I know that there are certain places, not just in New York City, but in various places that, you know, city employees have to be vaccinated in order to keep their job. I know that's true in Los Angeles from what I recently read. I know some hospitals are trying to go with that. Some colleges have insisted upon that. In fact, I know my very dear daughter, Sarah, praying for this situation. She has taken a new job with Frater Hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconson, and they have wanted all their employees to be vaccinated. And this doesn't even make sense. She works at home. And besides that, she had COVID, you know, many months earlier. And, you know, she certainly doesn't need a vaccination. She doesn't want a vaccination. And we are going to pray. I pray that you all join me with this prayer that God would make a way to escape this vaccination. And oh my, you know, we're seeing a great division in this land. You know, they're talking about bracelets or whatever to identify whether or not you've been vaccinated. And God only knows what this will lead to. Could easily lead to a chip that's inserted under the skin. It very easily so. But oh my, if we ever needed to pray, we need to pray now. And I do believe with all my heart that the Lord can give us a way to escape. Amen. Let's go into some scripture here. Let's go to begin with to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter here. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and just a verse I'm planning here at the moment. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord, a way to escape. And here, I believe temptation doesn't even mean entirely that, you know, the testing, the trials, the devil's attempts at times to come on and, you know, tempt us with sin. But I believe it can also be referring to adversity. And we all see adversity in this life that we live. But I believe the Lord is telling us that he knows how to make a way of escape. That whatever the circumstances, whatever the need is, whatever the adversity, the temptation might be, we would be able to bear it. Amen. Amen. Let's look for a moment at Luke, the 21st chapter. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Luke 21. Praise the Lord. Tells us, starting with verse 32, here at the end of this 21st chapter of Luke, it says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Oh, praise the Lord, the words that are spoken, the promises of God, amen, they're absolute. And they're not going to pass away. They are not fleeting. Oh, this heaven and this earth that we're so familiar with, that people are trying to save at this moment, it is going to pass away. And I thank God our hope isn't in this world. Oh my, it isn't in this hope. For we know that there is an end to this world. There's an end to the heaven that, oh yes, we see. But it's going to pass away. But God's words shall not pass away. Amen. Jesus went on to say in verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Oh, we don't want to be so busy, so snared in this world, so overindulging, surfeiting in food and drink and activities, entertainment, all those kind of things. Oh, we certainly don't want to be found drunken. And we don't want the cares of this life to just overwhelm us to the extent that we lose our focus. That we forget what is more important than anything else in this world. And that is that we would be right with God. That we would be serving our God. That our hearts would be given to the Lord Jesus. That we wouldn't be monkeying in the things of the flesh and turning to the things of this world to satisfy our souls. But oh no, we must give heed. It tells us to give heed. There's a reason why Jesus brought forth these words. Because he told us in verse 35, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." And he's talking about the end. Yes, his coming, his return, it's going to come as a snare. It's going to be like a trap. So many are just going to be going about their own thing, doing what pleases them, even what seems normal. And suddenly, he's going to come suddenly. He's going to come unannounced. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Yes, all at once we're going to hear that trump of God. Praise the Lord. He's going to come. He's going to come and save his people. He's going to deliver us. And yes, the judgment seat is going to come forth after that moment. But he's warning here. Verse 35 again. "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Praise God, there's a remedy here. Verse 36 tells us, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Okay, praise the Lord. We want to escape all these things. And you know, as all of this is unfolding before our eyes, it's becoming clearer. I mean, here, you know, they've got this vaccination. Oh, they're not pleased because a lot of people don't want it. And, you know, in this own community, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, we're below normal. I believe less than 40% of the people in this area have taken that vaccine. I know my daughter Becky has shared with me, she works at Kraft here in Beaver Dam, and they the big guys. I crafted it here in Beaver Dam is just, you know, one of many of their companies. And anyway, many other factories, and they get these notices every day from what Becky has shared with me saying, you know, you're below par. You need to get your numbers up for that vaccination. In fact, they are the lowest of all the craft factories in this country, from what I understand. Well, there's a reason for it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But oh my, they're trying to make it mandatory. They're trying to exert it, you know, bring it forth. And you know, even though it doesn't make any sense, and it is coming out, as Brother Samuel said, that, oh boy, many of the people that are coming down with the so-called COVID Delta thing right now, that variant that they're talking about, you know, have been vaccinated. And yeah, I've heard all kinds of things. Yeah, the vaccination doesn't really work, you know. In fact, they never were able to fully, you know, locate that virus. So it's a fudge. It's oh my, it's crazy. But oh my, nothing makes sense. But the devil is at work. And he has his people, and they are going forth to try to do his work. They may not even understand what is the motivation behind them or why they're endeavoring in these efforts. But oh, there is a devil. And he knows that he has but a short time. Oh, yes. And so he's going forth. Oh, with all his strength and ability. Oh, yes, to try to bring about his program to deceive whomsoever he could deceive. And oh, yes, that word deception is a huge word when it talks about the times of the end. And that is a major thing that's going on right now. Why do people say things that they say? Why do they do things that they do? Why do they believe things that don't even make sense? Even in regard to God's word, it's because they are deceived and they don't know it. And it's the old devil that is going about seeking whom he may devour and trying to cause all the havoc, all the confusion that he possibly can make happen. Yes. He's come down with great wrath, as it tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Oh, yeah, and it's getting shorter. Oh, but yes, on the other hand, we as the children of God know that he is on a string. Oh, he might be trying to bring forth his plan, his program, his one world. But his days are numbered. Oh my, it's going to end, and it's going to end quickly, and we want to be able to escape all those things that shall come to pass. The Lord knows how to make a way of escape and to stand before the Son of Man. And let me explain this here. When it says to stand, this is contrary to fall. We don't want to fall when we stand before the Lord Jesus there at the judgment seat. We want to be able to stand. We want to be approved. We want to be accepted. We want to be right in the eyes of God. So yes, we want to stand, because at that moment it's either stand or fall. You're either on the right hand, his sheep, or you're on the left, his goats. It's only going to be one way or the other. There's going to be no in between. Oh, how we need to make our calling and election sure. How we need to make ready while we can. How we need to watch and pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. They're coming to pass, folks. Come on, don't put the blinders on. Let's brace ourselves, but let's, oh my, be ready to stand. And yes, let's be ready to meet our Lord and Savior. Oh yes, ready to stand in his sight before the Son of Man. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there's many ways that God has allowed a way of escape for his people. I'm thinking of Lot here for a moment. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, we see that there was a dire need on his behalf. And he was rather oblivious to it, actually, in a lot of ways. But, you know, God had visited Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was time to judge those cities. And there was no way around it. God had looked, and, you know, it was so full of wickedness. Their sin was very grievous. The cry, the nastiness of the wickedness was so great that God had no other alternative than to destroy those cities. We have the beautiful story of how Abraham, when God shared with him what was coming forth, he made intercession. You know, he had a very beloved nephew that lived in Sodom. And, oh, yes, he was very concerned. And Abraham pleaded with God. You know, he asked God, if, you know, there are 50 righteous people, will you destroy those cities? And God graciously said, no. If there are 50 righteous people, I won't destroy those cities then. But I think Abraham kind of knew there weren't 50 righteous people in those cities. And so he went down to 45. Oh, Lord God, you know, will you spare the cities for 45 righteous people? God said, if I can find 45 righteous people, I'll spare those cities. And oh my, you know, he went down, to 40. And then he went down to 30. And then he went down to 20. And then Abraham thought, oh my, maybe there's only 10. Oh, Lord, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once, Abraham said in verse 32 of Genesis 18. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And God said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. But you know what? There were not 10 righteous people. And oh, yes, the angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, yes, they had a purpose. God had decreed that he was going to destroy those cities. That cry was so great. The wickedness was so overwhelming. Hey, how is it right now? How does God see this world? Oh, my, in his eyes, that cup of his wrath, all the wickedness, all the filthiness. You know, we're warned that at his coming, it would be as the days of Noah. The wickedness so great. Oh, the people so oblivious to the good things of God and going about and doing their own things. Oh, and being very violent, being very nasty, being very wicked. And yes, we're also told that his coming would be as the time of the days of Lot. And how we've seen it, how we've seen it. Oh my, Sodom and Gomorrah here in this United States. The things that people have accepted that are nasty in the sight of God, that spirit of sodomy, that spirit of homosexuality that was prevalent in Genesis. Oh yeah, read that 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Oh, you will get the picture. It was a very nasty place. So those angels came in to get Lot out and whoever would come with him. And it tells us, oh yes, they looked as men. And it tells us here in verse 12 here of Genesis chapter 19. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Oh my. So Lot got the picture. It tells us in verse 14, and Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Oh, they were so entrenched in Sodom. They were having a good old life. Oh my, they were satisfied to be there. They couldn't imagine getting out, I would assume. Verse 15 tells us, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And I'll tell you what, Lot was a little bit lingerly too. Lingery, I guess the word is. It tells us in verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Oh, the mercy of the Lord, his goodness to us. Oh my. They had to get out of there. They had to get out of there. They had to get out of there. And you know, it's God's mercy that bringeth us to repentance. You know, if you haven't turned your life over to the Lord right now, it's his mercy. Oh, that has not judged you at this moment. That the finality of everything has not been passed upon your life. Because, oh, surely it will happen. But by his grace and his mercy, you can turn your life over to the living God even right now. Oh, yes, you can surrender your heart to the Lord. If you're living in sin, come on, don't be fooled. God is going to judge sin. He's not fooling. Oh, my, this world is coming to an end, and God hates sin. He came to this earth to forgive us from our sin, to make a way of escape so we didn't have to go to hell. That's why he came to this world. And please do not put off God's mercy. Give your heart to the Lord tonight. Surrender your will to him right now. Repent. Turn away from your sin right now. Quit fooling around and playing in sin. For our Lord is coming. Yes, our Lord is coming. Oh, yes, it's his goodness, it's his mercy that bringeth us to repentance. And how thankful we are for that. Oh, we were all sinners. We had all sinned. We'd all come short of the glory of God. It's only by his grace and his mercy that, oh my, he made a way of escape so that we could give our lives to the Lord Jesus and be accepted from hell, the lake of fire. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Listen, sin is not going to enter heaven. You must repent. That means turn from your wicked ways and give your heart to the Lord. Yes, obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pour out your heart and ask him to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. He's here right now to meet every need. He's here to touch you, to move in your life, to change you. Oh, yes, to cause you to repent. It's his mercy. It's his goodness. And don't, oh, mock at the forbearance of God, his greatness, his mercy to save, the reason that he came to this earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, God was gracious for Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Those angels took them by the hands to get them out of that city. And it tells us in verse 17 here in Genesis 19. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And, oh my, even all this, And Lot is a little reluctant. He's saying in verse 18, "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And it tells us God in his mercy. Oh, God is so kind. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 21, "And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken." Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. It means littleness. It was one of the five cities that laid in the plain of the Jordan Valley. Oh my, God spared it for the sake of Lot. Oh my, isn't that precious? Our God loves us so much. Oh, praise the Lord. His children are the apple of his eye. Oh, yes, he died that we might live. And oh, my, he took those stripes that we might be healed. Oh, if you could just believe God for your healing. He's here to heal you from your diseases, from your infirmities, from your sicknesses. He's here tonight to meet your needs. Praise the Lord. That's our Jesus. Amen. And God did what he said he was going to do. Tells us the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Oh my, Sodom and Gomorrah, all the allurements, all the entertainments, all the good times, all the memories, all the parties. Oh, that was so in her. Oh my, she couldn't imagine living, I guess, anyplace else. And even though she was told very clearly not to look back, but to escape for her life, she looked back from behind Lot, and she became a pillar of salt. Oh my, she was caught. Oh, in the destruction. Oh, as she looked back and perhaps was even going back. And it tells us in verse 27, "And God got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Oh my, I've got to stop there. But you know what? I see in that 29th verse the power of intercession. Abraham's concerned for his nephew. Oh yes, for his family. How he interceded with God. And God remembered Abraham. How it had an impact. You know, God hears our cries. Praise the Lord. He sees all those things. Oh my, those burdens of our hearts. And oh, our loved ones, our children. Oh man, maybe our parents. Maybe our sisters and our brothers who haven't given their hearts to the Lord. He hears our cries. He knows the desires. All those friends that, oh, just haven't heard. Don't quit praying. Don't quit interceding. Oh, it makes a difference. It made a difference when Abraham interceded for his family members, his nephew. Amen. God remembered Abraham. And yes, Lot was taken out. Praise the Lord. And by all means, don't look back. Don't look back. Oh, this world is going to be burnt. It's going to be consumed. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And all the works of this earth, oh my, every little bit of trace of it is going to be burnt up. And oh my, we don't want to look back. No, we must keep going. We must keep pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's something to work for. Oh, it's our salvation. It's our eternal destination. Oh, my. Oh, yes. We've got to keep on going. We've got to keep on working for the Lord. We don't know the day or the hour and how important it is to work while it is day. As Jesus said, that night is coming when no man can work. He may be very close at hand right now, folks. Oh, how we need to give heed. We need to do what we can right now, right now, right now. It's no time to play church, to pretend. Oh my, to be a hypocrite. No, we want to give it our best right now. We want to be down on our knees right now. We want to be watching right now. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, for a little bit here. Oh, praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, praise our God. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Yeah, I'll tell you what. It says right here that that overthrow is an example, or an ensample, as the King James Bible puts it, but it means example unto those that should live ungodly. If you're playing with sin, if you're walking that road, you know that God is going to judge. As he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he is going to judge this world in righteousness. And he has a day that he has set aside for that. It is coming soon. It is coming soon. But Sodom and Gomorrah, yes, it happened. And it was for an example of God's judgment. Oh, an example of how he judges those that live ungodly. But on the other hand, it tells us in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh my, is it like that right now? Sometimes you overhear some conversations, some filthy talk, some filthy words. And I know of many of you who have to work in factories, hear all kinds of things that you want to scream about. Oh my, seeing and hearing and oh, the filthy things that people do and talk about. But Lot, yes, knew all about that. And it tells us here in 2 Peter that his soul, his righteous soul, was vexed day to day with their unlawful days, with their unlawful deeds, rather. Oh my, yes, it's hard to bear. And if it's hard for us to bear, how do you think God sees it and hears it? You think he bears it? He came to this world to die for our sins, that we might not have to live in that realm. Oh my. We don't want to ever live in that realm. But yes, there is a vexation that comes from those that walk with the Lord, amen, and to hear and to see those things. But praise the Lord, verse 9 tells us here in 2 Peter 2, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Praise the Lord. The Lord knoweth how. The Lord knows how to deliver us. Praise the Lord. The godly out of temptations. And let's, yes, extend this meaning of this word not only to mean the temptations of the devil, but adversity, things in this life, conflicts, trials and tests and problems, situations. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. But oh, he knows how to make a way to escape. And he made a way of escape for Lot. He had to get out of that wicked, wicked, wicked place. And I think it's so precious how Abraham made intercession for him. Praise the Lord. And you know, another possibility with our way of escape is the possibility that God might hide us. Amen. If we turn to a minor prophet right now, Zephaniah. Zephaniah, the second chapter. I just want to read a little bit from Zephaniah here. It tells us here, the second chapter, Zephaniah, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Ye gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to hide us. Oh, you know, he hid Elijah the prophet. And this is so amazing to me. I know I've mentioned this before, but you know, wicked old Jezebel was hunting for Elijah with all her strength. She sent her men out to every known country. They were looking for Elijah. And oh, when they went to that country, you know, and you know, asked, is Elijah the prophet here? They had to, you know, affirm strongly that he was not there. You know, they had to take an oath or whatever to prove that he wasn't there. She went every place that she knew to find him. But God hid Elijah. Praise the Lord. He sent him by the brook Cherith. Oh, yes, ravens to feed him, water to drink of the brook. And when the brook dried up, God sent him to Zarephath. And there was a widow woman and her son who was able to sustain Elijah. And I'll tell you what, Jezebel couldn't find him. God hid Elijah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God knows how to hide us. Besides, there's that secret place in his pavilion. Oh, that place in his presence. You know, it's entirely possible that, you know, God could hide us from view. You know, they could come searching for us and you know, God could blind their eyes. So they can't see us, so they can't know where we are, so they can't find us. Oh, we serve a mighty God. His ways are past finding out. His ways are so beyond our thinking. And he knows how to hide his people. He knows how to make a way of escape. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, he has all kinds of possibilities. And, you know, you can't always, you know, you might think God's going to do it one way or the other. You know, I have this need, and, you know, it's going to be this way, you know. Our minds might, you know, kind of rationalize and try to figure it out. Well, I'll tell you what, almost every time God does it a different way. He sure is a God of surprises, and oh, he has so many ways, things that we very possibly never considered. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, if we go to the second chapter of the book of Exodus, and we see that there was a need there among the Israelites. A Pharaoh had risen up over the land that didn't know Joseph. And he was afraid. He saw how God was blessing the Israelite people there in the land of Goshen. And he was afraid that they were getting to be too many. They were getting to be too strong. And he was afraid that, you know, if the enemy came forth and there was war, that, you know, the Israelite people would oppose them. And so he decided he was going to afflict the Israelite people. And oh yes, they sent them out to build cities for the Pharaoh's treasure cities. And I believe this would entail the pyramids. And they put taskmasters over the Israelites as they were doing their work. But despite all the afflictions that they were putting upon these people, the Israelites, they multiplied and they grew. Praise the Lord. And oh my. And oh boy, this Pharaoh, his worries are just accelerating. I mean, they're just growing, you know. Oh man, you know. Oh, it's not working. And so he tries more rigor to make them serve. More rigor. Make their lives more miserable and bitter and hard bondage. And oh, they had to go out and find, you know, their own stuff to make the bricks. And then that wasn't working. So then, you know, the king of Egypt spoke to the midwives and said, you know, when these Hebrew women, you know, bring forth male children, kill them. If it's a daughter, she can live. But if they bring forth a son, then you kill that boy, you kill that son. But praise the Lord, the midwives feared God, and they weren't going to do as the king of Egypt commanded. But they saved the male children alive. Amen. And so that wasn't working. And God dealt well with those midwives because they feared him and they honored him. And they weren't going along with, you know, the wicked king's orders. Interesting point. You might think about that one. We better think about that one, I think, actually. And so, beyond that, it says, Pharaoh charged all the people, and this is in the first chapter of the book of Exodus, the very last verse. He charged them, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Well, the story goes on. Chapter 2 here in Exodus tells us about there's a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. Actually, their names are Amram and Jochebed. Tells us in verse 2 that the woman conceived and she bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Oh, yes. And then there was the realization she couldn't hide him any longer. It's getting too big or whatever all. His cries were too loud or whatever. She couldn't hide him any longer. But God gave her a plan. Praise the Lord. I know the Lord inspired her to do this. The Lord can inspire us. We don't know what's ahead. Man, I don't even know if I'll ever have this opportunity again to bring forth the word of God here in this pulpit. But you know what? God inspired Jochebed, and she took an ark of bulrushes. She daubed it with slime and with pitch to make it waterproof. And oh, she took that ark that, you know, she was able to come forth with and She put the little boy in it, her child, in that ark. And then she laid it there at the river in the flags that were growing there, the bulrushes that were there by the river's brink. And she told the older sister to go stand off and witness, watch what's going to happen. And lo and behold, God's ways, how he makes a way. Oh, yes, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. She's going to wash herself in the river. It's probably a ceremonial thing. And she's got her maidens walking along by the river. You know, you just don't know how God's going to answer. And oh my, here she's coming toward the river. And she sees this little ark in the river, this basket, you know. And there it is. It's floating among the flags. And what's that, you know? She sent her maid to go fetch it, and to go look, see, what is that? I never saw that before. And wow, again, you don't know how God's going to answer. He tells us in verse 6 here in Exodus 2, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she, Pharaoh's daughter, had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." And then she said to his sister, Miriam, who was watching to see what would happen, his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, because she's observed this whole thing, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" I don't suppose, Pharaoh's daughter saw her at the first, I don't suppose, you know. But then, you know, she came forth and asked this question, and here's faith. Faith working, and how God honors faith. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Oh, praise the Lord. You just don't know how God is going to answer. But here, this little boy, that the parents had faith that God would keep this child alive. And how God worked it out in such a phenomenal way. Oh, yes. The mother, Jochebed, was able to take that child and nurse it. And, you know, she was even paid for that. And I'm sure, you know, till, you know, what understanding the little one had. You know, I'm sure she taught him the ways of the Lord. What an amazing story. And then after that, she brought the child to Pharaoh's daughter, who considered it to be her own, and called the name Moses because she had drawn him out of the water. Praise the Lord. Well, God is so amazing, and we know that there was a great plan behind all of this. And oh my, we know that when Moses becomes of age and, you know, he sees two Hebrews striving together after, you know, he has observed the day before, it seems that, you know, there was an Egyptian that was smiting a Hebrew, and Moses killed him, and then there were two Hebrews that were striving together, and you know, they weren't ready for Moses, and you know, they weren't ready to, you know, accept him as a deliverer. "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." So there's a rejection at that point, and he flees away from Egypt. He goes into the land of Midian. He sits down by a well, and of course, God worked out those circumstances. And oh my, you know, he's able to help the women that are there, and you know, he becomes, you know, employed to real, who becomes his father-in-law. And so all of this, you know, step by step, God working it out. And if he was working at that point, he is working right now. Oh, yes, the things that are happening on this earth, oh, yes, are ordered by the Lord. God knows what it's going to take, to bring forth the finality of this world. It's all in his hands. Oh, my, he knows how to help his people in the midst of all their sighing, all their cries, because, well, Moses was sent away there into Midian, the land of Midian. The Israelites, the Hebrews, were still in bondage, and they were sighing by the reason of their bondage, and they were crying. It tells us in the 23rd verse of the second chapter of Exodus that their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And verse 24 tells us, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Oh, praise the Lord. 40 years in Midian, and finally it's time for deliverance. It seems stretched out, I suppose, to the people. But oh my, God knows when everything is ready, when it's his timing. Oh yes, and when that deliverance will come forth. And of course, we see that God put a burning bush before Moses as he was tending the flock there in the desert there. And of course, God called to Moses as he looked at that burning bush. It was quite a sight indeed, because that bush was burning, but it was not burnt. It was not burning up, in other words. Phenomenal. And you know, when Moses turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses responded, oh yes, God is going to make himself known to Moses this moment. Oh, what a moment that is when God becomes a reality in your life. He becomes your friend, your savior, your soon coming king. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, here he's making himself known to Moses, the third chapter of the book of Exodus. Oh yes, the fourth verse. It says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It was holy because God's presence was there. Oh, praise the Lord. And I love it when we can be on the holy ground here, when the presence of the Lord comes down, and oh, we know that he is here to meet our needs. Oh, yes, and to make himself known. Praise the Lord. But God introduces himself to Moses. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And here it is, all the sighing, all the bondage, all the trouble that the Israelite people were having. God had noticed. God had seen it, and God was going to deliver them. Oh, praise the Lord. He sees your trials. He knows your pain. He knows the things that you have need of. He knows your struggles. And yes, there is a time when God will intervene if you'll let him, if you'll have faith, if you'll stand on his promises. And here it was, Moses is hiding his face, afraid to look upon God. Verse 7 here, Exodus 3 tells us, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And he called Moses. Oh, yes, he called him to deliver them, to deliver the Hebrews, the children of Israel, out of their affliction, to make a way of escape. And what a story it is. Oh, yes, God got them out of Egypt. And it was in a mighty way. It was through, a period of time. You know, the Egyptians weren't going to let them go easily. God sent those plagues upon them. Oh, yes. And so finally, they let them go. God knows how to do it. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to make a way of escape. Praise the Lord. And finally they got out of Egypt. Praise the Lord. And all in that moment here they came, to that place where the Red Sea was. And the devil had hardened the heart of old Pharaoh, and he decided to pursue the children of Israel after they had left Egypt. And here they are. They've traveled through that wilderness. They've got to the Red Sea. And all at once, there's that realization. The Red Sea is before us, and the Egyptians are behind us. We're trapped. We're boxed in. We're swallowed up. What are we going to do? They were so afraid. They cried out unto the Lord, it tells us in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. No, they get to complain. Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, is that why you took us out of Egypt so we could die in the wilderness? They saw no answer. They saw no remedy. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we die in the wilderness. Sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you're blinded to what God is doing. You might not know what he's doing. But he knows how to deliver. He knows how to set free. And he doesn't do it for nothing. There's reasons for why God does what he does. Moses had to calm the people. Here in Exodus 14, verse 13, it tells us, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And listen to this, verse 14 here in this 14th chapter of Exodus. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon all his chariots and upon all his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And praise the Lord, it all worked out. God, caused that wind to blow. And that he made that wall of water to stand up so the Israelites could cross that Red Sea. Praise the Lord, as Moses stretched out his hand. Praise the Lord, the Lord took care of it. Notice, at first they were assured that God would fight for them. They would hold their peace. God would do it. Sometimes we try too hard to make things happen. Let the Lord fight your battles. Praise the Lord. There's times when we must go forward and show faith. And yes, they had to go forward. You know, the instructions came forth, the precise instructions came forth as this is unfolding. The need for Moses to lift up his rod and to stretch his hand over the sea and let it be divided so that the children of Israel could go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. It all became clearer and clearer and clearer. And then it happened. Praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to deliver. Praise the Lord. And we know the wonderful story, that strong east wind that blew all the night. And oh, the sea became a dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, it was like a wall unto the children of Israel on the right and on their left. And that great multitude of Israelites, over a million people, oh my, could cross that Red Sea. God knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. And we know on the other hand, when the Egyptians tried to follow, the waters closed down on them and they were drowned. Oh, our God knows how to give us a way of escape, how we can get through this world, how we can escape old Egypt. Because yes, Egypt represented sin, the ways of the world, and all of that. And it was so necessary for God's people to get out of there. And how we need to leave sin behind. Oh yes, as we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to make a way of escape. Oh, and there's so many things more that I could say. Oh, there's so many references. You know, it could be that we would go and enter into our chambers and shut the doors about us and hide ourselves, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. As we're seeing the things of this world coming to pass, the enemy coming down as a flood, trying to drown us, trying to hinder us. Oh, yes, their plans are nasty, nasty, nasty. But our God hasn't changed. And as he has helped his people in the past, he knows how to help us today. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. I believe there's that moment, as it says in Isaiah 25. Oh, yes. When he swallows up death and victory, that 8th verse. The Lord God wiping away all tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it tells us in verse 9 here, Isaiah chapter 25, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he shall save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows them that are his. Oh, yes, and he knows how to make a way of escape. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so that we can make it through this world. So we can have the victory. So that we can overcome. So one day we can stand before our God and hear him say, well done. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We could just hold on to faith. Oh, yes. And wait on our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Because he is going to come. He's going to come, and oh, that great cry. Oh, yes, we see our God coming forth as that trump sounds. Oh, praise the Lord. And there he is. Every eye is going to see him. Oh, yes, as the resurrection comes forth. Oh, yes, they that have done well. Oh, yes, unto blessings. And those that have done wickedly unto God's judgment. Oh, how we need to be ready for this moment. Oh, for surely he will come. Oh, he that will come shall come. Oh, praise the Lord, and will not tarry. No, that moment he hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness. And surely that moment, as we see these things coming to pass, oh, indeed it is time to lift up our heads, to realize that the coming of our Lord draweth near. And yes, oh, that we could say, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to give us a way to escape. Oh, yes, the snares of this world. Oh, the afflictions of the enemy. Oh, yes, the powers that be. Praise the Lord. He is our God. He is the deliverer. There's nothing too hard for him. And we can rejoice in his salvation, our salvation. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a privilege to be his children. Oh, praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Oh, let's rejoice in our God. Let's worship our God. Let's praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. He will come and save us. We are in his hands. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's nothing too hard for the mighty God that we serve. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Work in every heart, Lord. Give us faith and confidence in thee and in thy coming. Oh, God, help us to realize that thou hast made a way to escape thy judgments. And, oh, God, a way to stand before thee. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 82 and sing Jesus is Coming Soon, number 82. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.